Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by the City of Sevierville, the East Coast's hottest, most affordable eco-travel destination for families, couples, and holiday weekends. If you want to relax, reconnect with nature, and have the time of your life, please check out visitsevierville.com. For more promotional offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. Also, don't forget to check out our contest section on our website for your chance to win one of our cool prizes. For more information, please visit www.theorganicview.com/contest. Today, I have my very favorite person to talk about toxic chemicals and pesticides, especially in the home environment and the existing environment, Alice Shavikoff. And we're going to be talking today about the toxic scene of the crime. Everyone knows there's no place like home. After all, home is where the heart is. Home is where it's supposed to be comfortable and safe, but could it be toxic? While most families think they are more or less safe in their homes, unfortunately they're not. There are many toxins in our home environment that can and have caused harm to ourselves as well as our children. With the myriad of scented air fresheners, bath and beauty products, the bottle of detergent you use to clean your floor, there are all sorts of chemicals that really should be avoided. Alice is an advocate who has been working diligently to raise awareness about the dangers of chemical use in our environment as well as inside our home. She educates the public about how these toxic chemicals have impacted our health and what we can do about it. She, along with her husband, co-authored a very well-known book called Poison for Profit, The Toxic Assault on Our Children. And let me tell you, if you haven't read it, I highly recommend that you pick up a copy or take it out in your local library because it's very eye-opening, especially with the amount of chemical contamination that has gone on our soil here in the United States. And, you know, if you think about it abroad, the chemicals have been dumped everywhere. And Alice is tremendous. I mean, she's a member of the board of directors of Birth Defect Research for Children. She served in the 1970s as executive director in the National Consumers League, the country's oldest consumer organization. And in the 1980s, as founder and executive director of the Nonprofit Community Information Exchange, which is a nonprofit information service for the community development sector. And also as a freelance journalist, Alice's articles focus on parents and consumers' issues, and they've appeared all over the place. She's been in the New York Times, the Washington Post, so many different magazines and journals. And really, Alice Shavikoff is somebody that, if you don't know who she is, you really need to start paying attention because this woman has been leading quite a fight, especially so that people can not only protect themselves, but their families. So I would like to welcome to the show Alice Shavikoff. Good afternoon, Alice, and welcome back to the show.
Oh, June, that was just lovely, heartwarming. Thank you very much.
Always great to have you, Alice. I mean, talking to people like you, it makes everything that I do and everything that I go through so worthwhile because it's just nice to know that there are genuine people out there who are equally as passionate and are doing this because they feel compelled to do it. And, you know, nobody's asking you to do this. Nobody's paying you to do this. This
right.
is something that you're doing because it's basically your mark on society and how you're going to improve the world as great as you can while you're here. So for that, all the work that you've done, thank you.
Oh, June, thank you. As you remember, June, it all started with our first grandchild, and who was born and shortly thereafter, it became clear that he had some kind of emotional or behavioral problems, and we started looking around his neighborhood here in the Boston area and found that so many kids, especially boys, were having troubles in ways that my own children, the generation before them, didn't seem to be suffering. And the more we looked into it, the clearer it became that there's terrible things going on in our daily life, in our environment, that is just basically harming, if not killing, our kids. The other thing that is interesting, these are children who were born, they were toxified in the womb, in their mother's womb, because chemicals crossed the placenta in great strength right into the baby. And these were children who were the first generation to be toxified in the womb. Their parents, the boomer generation, those are the people who are having trouble with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and diseases like cancer that take a while to show up. And I think they, too, were polluted by our country's great experiment in better living through chemicals. But, June, I don't want to let other industries off the hook like the nuclear industry. They, too, are polluting our lives.
I think it's a combination of many different industries.
Yes.
And what it all boils down to is the fact that the corporation's only legal obligation is to make their shareholders money. And I love money. I personally think, money's a great thing. I'm completely in support of technology, and I'm also in support of business.
Yes.
But I'm in support of responsible business. I think the key word that most people tend to forget is responsibility and accountability, and that is where things have gone awry.
Yep, and so in a way, what we are discussing is kind of like an aspect of the Occupy movement. This is like we should be talking about occupying our children's bodies. They have trespassed against our children, and that's what you and I are working on, how to try to improve the environment so that we can grow up like healthy, strong citizens.
Alice, on that note, let's talk about kids.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the problems that kids are dealing with health-wise because of simple things that parents are just simply not aware of. And we could start off with baby products, different shampoos, just the whole health and beauty aids section.
Right.
If you will.
June, that we found that among today's children, 1 in 3 kids have a chronic illness, from birth defects and cancer to asthma, autism. And as you said when you began today's radio session, a lot of the things that cause these diseases are found right inside our homes. So let's start, as you said, with some of the products. Do you know that if you buy one of those antibacterial cleansers, they are found in cleaning materials, in toothpaste, in even in your underwear, that they might contain a chemical called triclosan? All of these words that you never heard of before, and they are not on the labels, but triclosan is one of the chemicals being put into things that are sold in our stores, not labeled, as I said, and they can disrupt the hormone system of a child. Can I take a moment just to say something about the hormonal system of our bodies?
Sure, please.
Okay. When little kids in the womb and when they are first born, all of their systems are undefended. It's over time, until we are teenagers, our bodies are much less protected. Hormones control everything from our breathing cycle to our sexuality to our brain power. And if they are disrupted during the fetal life or in early childhood, you will end up with one of those illnesses that we talked about, from cancer to Parkinson's. Here are triclosans, which are one of those hormone disruptors that you never know are there. There are flame retardants in your mattresses and sofas. They're, again, flame retardants, not labeled, probably.
How come they're not labeled, though, Alice?
That's one of the basic questions. I think that's all part of the same problem, June, that not only are they allowed in the products that we face from day to day, but then the industry has been so strong, you and I have talked about genetically modified organisms, that they are not labeled. These terrible chemicals that can hurt our kids don't have to show up on any label. If you buy a pacifier that says germ-free, it has been dunked in something, a nanoparticle, a silver, based from silver.
Yeah, that kind of frightens me.
Yeah, it's scary as hell. because these nanoparticles, nobody knows what's wrong with them. No studies have been done. They are not labeled, but there is evidence to show that they are going to be the next generation of problems facing us. How about you started with the air fresheners, you know?
Air fresheners for me are a personal nightmare, and
yes.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone into offices to visiting people. It doesn't matter where it is. I can smell the air fresheners literally the minute that the door opens. I can smell it, and automatically my eyes begin to water. That is what happens to me. And I know many of the listeners out there have written in and sent me messages on Twitter and Facebook about some of the experiences that they've had. A gal on Twitter, her name's not Perfume, that's her Twitter name, she's talked about it a lot. Yeah, she's amazing. She has really been pretty outspoken, especially on social media, about that. It is really frustrating when you're in a particular environment, say if you're at a community center or doesn't matter
yes.
where it is, and whoever happens to be the manager of that particular facility decides that they want to freshen up a bit. And instead of using something called soap and water, they decide that they're going to use something like Febreze or something else. And it's funny, they have these commercials on TV here where they're advertising these rooms that are absolutely disgusting, and there's all sorts of filth surrounding the people, and they're blindfolded, and they spray the product, and they claim that they're smelling fresh flowers or whatever scents that they're smelling. I know for a fact that you put me in that room, I'm going to be physically sick. That's how my body reacts to it, and I'm not going to smell flowers. I'm going to smell the chemical, and people such as myself who have these sensitivities,
yeah.
It's a nightmare for us, and unfortunately, the only thing that we could do to prevent getting sick from it is to just avoid it entirely, and that's what I choose to do. It's not like I could go places and say, oh, by the way, don't spray that. It's not my place to say it, so I just choose
yes.
to avoid it. But these home air fresheners are a disaster for people such as myself, and now they're starting to incorporate these scents into laundry products. It's kind of interesting. You know what it reminds me of, Alice? It reminds me of the way that they are using aspartame and saccharin and other artificial sweeteners in over-the-counter cold medicine, especially for children and adults. I recently had Mary Nash Stoddard on talking about aspartame, and, you know, we were talking about that, and this whole thing just reminds me of how they're taking the same chemicals that are making our air toxic, and they're putting into other products so that, you know, we could get almost a double dose. So.
Absolutely. And 90% of the chemicals that we are talking about are made from a base of petroleum, which is, I mean, there you have the oil industry is behind all of this and probably behind the fact that there are no labels on anything. The
That's a really good
that
point.
We were talking about, they are a $7 billion a year industry. So that's one reason why you won't find them labeled or talked about in the mainstream press.
Well, I mean, the reason that this show has been so successful is because people want the information, and mainstream media is not going to talk about these types of subjects. Plus, as much as I love you, Alice, and so many people, especially your fans and people that have been following your work for years, let's face it, it's not like you're going to be on Good Morning America talking
right.
about this
right.
on a monthly basis. You know,
not even on Oprah.
Their sponsors don't want you there because you cost them money.
Absolutely. Although, that is another good conversation, June, because there is this new field called green chemistry where scientists can find out what are the molecules that are toxic and replace them with non-toxic molecules, and here we go, we still can have a modern life. But, of course, the people who are in the petroleum industry do not want that to happen. And so we not only don't learn about what's hazardous, but advances to try to change the situation are being hampered, which I'm sure does not surprise you.
No, not at all. And, I mean, this is why the need for public education needs
yes.
to continue, and this is why more people such as yourself that have done all of the due diligence have been spending hours and hours and hours doing research, speaking to people that have been devastated by the different chemicals that are being put out there. And what's even more disturbing is, you know, we're talking about health and beauty aids and other products in the home, but even the home environment as far as gardens, as far as the front yards. I mean, it's amazing the chemicals that are on the lawns. And then you have chemicals like imidacloprid and clothianidin, which are the new breed of systemic pesticides called neonicotinoids, that are being applied to everything from houseplants to shrubs, all sorts of pretty flowers and whatnot. And, you know, as someone who has always gardened without gloves, I'm kind of mortified at the fact that many of these plants have been treated, and I have no idea how much of this stuff is in my system. And these neonicotinoids are cumulative in the body, and the damage is irreparable. So the bottom line for people that don't quite understand what that means is the more that you're exposed to it, the more that it builds up in your body, and you can't get rid of it.
You know, we found that, this is really surprising, you're talking about pesticides, that 82% of Americans use pesticides at home, and families use more pesticides than agriculture does.
That is really disturbing, isn't it?
Isn't that amazing? Yes. More on a per square foot basis. And let's think also about the other parts of where you're exposed to pesticides, like if you're out, if your collar, your pet collar has a pesticide, which it may, like a flea collar, may have a pesticide in
it. Yeah, most of the flea medications are do contain some derivative of the neonicotinoids. I mean, that was a very big issue for me because I do have pets, and you know, what do you do?
Oh, here's another statistic for you, June, about pesticides. By age 5, children have half of their lifetime burden of pesticides in their body, meaning that if you're going to get rid of pesticides, you'd better do it while just before you're pregnant, while you're pregnant, and until your kids grow up and leave home. And there's absolutely no reason to use pesticides. We have a garden in the cold part, the western part of Massachusetts, and we never use pesticides, and things grow very well in the for the few days that they can grow in western Massachusetts.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, as I said, you may not use pesticides intentionally, but because of the fact that the labeling is not mandatory, that's where the problem lies. So, you know, here in the United States, and I know that we have listeners that are tuning in from every continent. It's amazing. Hey, you've got to love the Internet. I mean, without the Internet, there would be no way that this show would reach over a million people, especially in the short space of time that it has. But the bottom line is that people want the information because they can't get it from the traditional sources for news. So that's why people such as yourself that are the experts that have done all the work, you know, they're getting the information firsthand. But the bottom line is with all these different chemicals and all the problems that we're having, whether it's the food, the products that we're using, everything, because of the fact that the labeling is not there. I mean, they are not required to really fully disclose everything that is being used. That is the problem. And what's funny is that if I was just talking about this to one of my other guests, and we were just talking about the fact that with the GMO labeling, actually it was Dr. Bob Quinn from, he's the president of Kamut International, we were saying that the agrochemical companies are so petrified that the GMO labeling is going to do this, going to do that, and all it's going to do is just basically give people options. You know, is this something that you want to buy?
And isn't at that least supposed to be American? That
exactly.
That people have a free choice?
Exactly. But the irony is that if you look at the tobacco industry, how many people still smoke, but yet it says in very big letters, you know.
That's true.
The warning.
That's true.
That's the irony.
June, let me bring it back to children again.
Sure.
The reason that we are so exercised about pesticides for children, that my husband and I focus on children, is the impact of all these things is so much graver. Because kids' bodies can't yet manufacture the enzymes and other kinds of things that will help them excrete mercury or pesticides or all the other bad products that we come across. They are so much more susceptible to any harmful substance in their daily life. And what happens is they end up sick, and it affects our nation not only because of the health care that we're going to end up with, the budget we have to include for taking care of our sick kids, but also a loss in leadership, a loss in IQ. This is the coming generation is not going to be the kind of people that we need to run our country because of the harm that we are doing to them while they are young.
Well, it makes you wonder who's going to be left to run the country if everybody's getting sick.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Good question, isn't it? And sometimes I find that if a congressman or a corporate person has a child who has gotten sick, all of a sudden they're a little bit more sensitive to these issues.
Well, that's how it always is, Alice, because
yeah.
Until people have a personal reason to actually care about something, unfortunately that's human nature. I don't care what anybody says. I've been doing this a very long time, and I've seen this when it comes to people's decisions about organic. You have some sort of health crisis. It's amazing how people change their tune. Everything's got to be certified organic. They want to know who's growing it, how they're growing it, what type of fertilizer they're using, how long they've been farming the land, the whole nine yards. They practically want a dissertation on each and every product because they get it. But unfortunately, it take something like a health crisis in order for people to wake up, and
right.
You know,
whether personal or aggregate.
Exactly.
Yes. So, June, you and I also thought we would talk about something that is equally surprising, which is what are the problems that face us when you turn on the tap and water comes out. A lot of the research that we did, we found that kids were getting sick. Not only from pesticides or stuff in the air pollution, but from the water, the very water that they were drinking. For example, in a little place in Tennessee, the kids were drinking, the mothers while pregnant were drinking water that had a chemical in it called trichloroethylene. It's the same chemical that parents at the military base in Tennessee in Camp Lejeune were drinking, where the soldiers, the men got breast cancer and the children were born with leukemia and birth defects.
Mm.
And that chemical, would you believe it, that chemical has been under scrutiny for the last 40 years and nobody has done anything to control it.
And they still haven't banned it.
And they haven't banned it. And the only way, you can have your water tested, and you can put in a whole house purifier, but otherwise, you may very well be drinking that kind of water, or something, for example, the byproduct of chlorinating water. A lot of towns will clean up their water supply by putting chlorine in it, and that, too, is dangerous. The byproduct of it is a long word, trihalomethane, very bad. There was a town in New Jersey called Brick Township, a cluster of kids with autism, and that is probably the reason for it.
Go ahead.
Because they were all drinking this water that had been changed by being chlorinated.
What's interesting, Alice, is that when I remember years ago, I was using some tap water to water some houseplants that I had, and I wondered why was it that they would die. And this is years ago, and the guy at the nursery said, oh, you should leave the water out on the counter for a couple of hours and then use it. And I did it, and it worked. And it turned out that it was an issue with the water. That
of chlorine.
Chemicals, yeah, the chemicals had to
evaporate.
Exactly. And, right. You know, that's kind of disturbing. But, you know, plant life, of course, you do anything to the plants, their plants are so sensitive they're going to die immediately, especially if there's something in the water. But with us, sometimes it does take a long time. But, you know, the proof is right there.
Absolutely. Again, back to the kids, they are so much more susceptible because in the first 6 months of their lives, they drink 7 times more water per pound than an adult. So any toxicant that's in the water will, of course, affect their sensitive bodies. So they're drinking more of it, and they're more sensitive to it.
Now, Alice, isn't it true that newborns should not have the tap water?
Yes. Newborns should, if the water is fluoridated, I'm still not sure where I come out on that whole fluoridation issue, but although I think if I had to choose, I would go without it.
I definitely go without it.
Fluoride put on your teeth when you visit the doctor or in your toothpaste, one or the other, not too much. But if you mix your baby formula with fluoridated water, that is, the U.S. government has even put out a standard saying that you should never do that, but of course you'll never learn that from your local water supply. So you should use bottled water or water that's been purified through your whole house tap or a tap under the sink. Yeah, it's absolutely dangerous for little babies.
Amazing. And how widespread is this knowledge, Alice? I mean, are the OBGYNs giving this information out to the new mommies?
Not as far as I know. I have never come across a pediatrician or an OBGYN who has spoken about environmental issues. Now, they are being trained, this generation in medical school. We found out that the last generation of pediatricians got about 3 hours, literally 3 hours of training during medical school about the possible effects of pollutants in the environment. This is being changed for the current generation of people going through medical school, but so far, all the doctors seem to want to do is give you 5 more vaccinations and send you home with a medicine. So that's another issue we could talk about someday. Is
oh, yeah. We could spend a whole bunch of time talking about that. But getting back to the babies, because there are a lot of new moms that, they're still quite active with social media and whatnot, and I've received a number of questions, especially from moms-to-be, as well as some of the new moms, that have been very concerned about the products that they use on their baby, and, you know, with the water, that is such an incredibly important piece of information to get out there.
Yes.
And I think that's something that I'm going to start sending out on Twitter to just, tell
so
new moms, use the bottled water.
Don't use bottled water, or even better is to filter your own water. Would be much cheaper over the long run, and then you don't have plastic bottles to throw away. The water that comes out of our tap, I found in our research, we found a wonderful description. It was, the water treatment facilities of most of our towns across the country cannot take most of the bad stuff out of the water. So 90% of the prescriptions that your neighbors are using, they pass through their body, incompletely metabolized, and end up in the water supply. And that includes, for example, their personal care products. So the term or phrase that is used for that is toilet to tap. That's quite unpleasant, isn't it?
Can I ask you a question, Alice, in regards to that? Someone told me that even birth control that women take when they pass it in the urine, that
yes.
winds up back in our water system. Is that true?
Yes.
That's scary, because that means that
the psychological drugs, right.
Mm-hmm. That is really scary.
Yes, that is why. And another thing that people are not usually aware of is it's not only the drinking water when you bathe, because it covers all the skin of your body, your kid's skin.
Mm.
You are getting an even larger dose than when you drink it. So you should have either a whole house filter or a filter on your shower head. It's not expensive. It's certainly worth it.
But how good are these filters? Because I happen to have a filter on my water main. But from what I understand, there are certain things that these filters just do not get rid of. And it was interesting. I had gentleman on from a water company, I think it's Summit Springs up in Maine. I'm just trying to think of the name of the company, and fascinating operation that he has. And he was saying that the Brita filters, for example, they do not purify the water. All they do is make it taste better.
I think Brita filters do take some contaminants out, but not as much as if you had a whole house filter.
Well, he said that they do not. He said you can call them and ask them. And I've been meaning to. I know that Ed Begley Jr. does some work with a particular water filtration company, and actually, a colleague of mine from Australia also works with a company that has filtration systems. And you know, the water filtration systems, I think they are becoming a key component to having any type of
yes.
house or apartment. You really need to have one because they're
yes.
just dumping too much in the water, whether they're fracking the earth or, as you said, the chemicals that are just coming out in the waste system, the waste processing.
Right. Yes, I think that if I were going to give advice to people trying to become pregnant, I would say that organic food would be the first thing, and a water system would be a companion up there, number one.
Thank you.
A water filtration system, right. You agree?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right.
I think the water filtration system, because you think about it, you use the water for cooking, for bathing, for your pets.
Yes.
Your pets can't exactly speak and say, by the way, this water tastes like, you know, garbage. they can't do that. You know, what they do is they will get sick, and then when you have to take them to the vet, they can't exactly speak English and say, you know, hey, you know, your water's making me sick, do something about it. You know, they show you physically, and
right.
that's the bottom
line. And neither
line.
Can your babies tell you, oh, that's what's wrong with me today.
Exactly.
You now, know, we do have standards, the safe drinking water, but it only covers 91 pollutants. I mean, and there are 80,000 chemicals manufactured manufactured or imported into America. 80,000 chemicals plus stuff like nuclear waste or mercury from air pollution. So that's why I think that water is as important as good food when you're talking about the health of your kids and yourself.
Now, Alice, what do you do if you live in an area where the water just is not great, like the folks that you mentioned in Tennessee or even in Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania,
yes.
I'm sorry, but it's turning into a toxic waste dump, the whole state.
Oh,
Everything that I hear about the different areas within Pennsylvania where they're fracking away, and the need for the water to be pumped in, I mean, just all the different stories and everything about these people that are saying, hey, look, you know, you polluted my land, give me good drinking water. And that is just horrible.
So if you lived in Pennsylvania, what would you do?
Yeah. I mean,
After the BP spill, everybody wondered, what should I do? All the families living down there. Do you know that most people said, move, which is fairly ridiculous, a fairly ridiculous solution, and it would be a fairly ridiculous solution for the people in Pennsylvania. So, number one.
But, Alice, I need you to explain why that's ridiculous, because personally, that would have been my first suggestion is to, well, you know, get out of there. But
yeah.
Why isn't it such an easy thing to just say, you know something, I'm going to up and move because, you know what,
yeah.
this company so nicely just completely polluted the whole entire region.
I spoke to some families in the Gulf when this, when the oil spill happened, and a lot of environmental scientists were telling them to move because that's the only thing you can do, but a lot of them couldn't move. It was the only job they had. Their money was all tied up in their houses. There's no way that most families can up and leave a polluted place, which is just heartbreaking. And so whatever you and I talk about, these are maybe half measures. The bottom line is that we have to get people to be so active, to be such an active force of American citizenry, that we stop killing our environment and our kids. So in the meantime, if you live in Pennsylvania and you can't move, I guess you just either you buy bottled water. In that case, it would be worth it. Or try the whole house filtration system.
And just keep trying to do the little things that you can do to get through it and deal with it. And it's just such a nightmare. But the thing is that it's becoming more widespread,
yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes. The whole issue about fracking, which seems to be spreading all over the country, and nobody has really looked into how dangerous it is. Why are we allowing that, just like we allowed so many other things, like we allowed all of these chemicals to enter our daily environment without adequate testing, without adequate standards?
And, you know, it's interesting, getting back to the chemicals, with the personal care products, I just want to talk about that. Now, you had done some work in regards to baby products. Can you talk about that? Because I think that that's a very important subject to bring up.
All kinds of baby products. You want to start, for example, with cribs or mattresses? You know, even basics like that, you have to be careful. I found out that most mattresses are impregnated with a chemical that will harm a baby's hormone system. But so I went to IKEA, which is carries Swedish products,
mm-hmm.
and bought a mattress for my granddaughter. Safe and cheap and comfortable, by the way. But isn't that an interesting example that an American mattress, unless it was organic and cost a lot of money, would include these flame retardants, whereas the stuff from IKEA, which was very inexpensive, did not. That just shows you that it is possible to control the harm that is done to our kids and our population if you want to, if you have a national will. Teething rings. Teething rings are made of plastic that are impregnated with phthalates, which are, again, something that will disrupt your baby's hormones.
Wow.
And then, you know, there are kids now take books into the bathtub with them. Bath books, they're called. Cute.
Oh, the
idea.
Plastic bath books. Yes, I've seen
yes.
them.
And a lot of them, too, are impregnated with phthalates, which are like flame retardants, and they disrupt the baby's hormone system.
How is it possible that this has just gotten this far out of control? I mean, how many people is it going to take to die or to get sick before something is done? I mean, if you just look at the number of people, just in the United States alone, how many people have some sort of health disorder, disease, or, you know, combination thereof?
Well, we know that 1 in 3 children does. And I don't know the statistics for adults, but think of the increase in just the past years in cases of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And I'm sure that they are environmentally influenced. Because some people have a greater susceptibility to some kind of chemicals or pollutants than other people. And that's the other thing. It's so hard for science to declare genes. Cancer is caused by exactly this exposure on that day. And it is because of that kind of a medical issue that the industry just says, well, therefore, Jane's cancer cannot have been caused by any environmental ingredient, which is not the conclusion I would come to. And I'm sorry to hear that the research budget for the National Institute of Health is being cut, because these are the places where honest research is being done to look into what the effect of environmental pollutants is on our lives.
Yeah, it is a shame. But you know something? There are people out there that will continue to circumvent that and find ways where the data can be made available.
Yes.
And you know, that's basically what it boils down to, where if you want to be able to push a particular issue across, you have to basically do whatever you can within your means, and then extend your efforts and connect with other people that have similar interests, and you know, join forces and make it happen. And that's what more and more people are starting to do, because we can't depend upon the agencies that are out there to protect us to do what they're supposed to be doing, because basically either they're being cut left and right, or they've been funded by the people that are creating the problems.
And absolutely, you were talking about baby products as one example. And I'm thinking about Johnson & Johnson was in the news recently because it was found that some of their products contained carcinogenic materials, of course not labeled. And they said, okay, oh, there was such an uproar that they said they would take those chemicals out of their products.
Why there was an uproar? They're lucky that they don't have a class action lawsuit against them.
Well, that's another very interesting subject. Every time there isn't a lawsuit, the parents lose, and they settle. They're given a small amount of money, not in any way equal to the cost of the illness and the care for the child for the rest of the kid's life.
No, especially if the kid winds up with some sort of disease that they will be stuck with for the rest of their life, or
exactly.
you know, you can't compensate a parent for that or someone's life for that.
And the parents are required never to say a word about the lawsuit in the settlement. So far the law has not been on our side. I mean, Erin Brockovich, notwithstanding, she's the exception to the rule. Lawsuits are not the way to go. I actually think that we really need a citizens' movement where we get together and boycott products, you know, that we would choose maybe one a week or one a month or one a year, and get a message out via the free enterprise system that you can't do this to my kids anymore.
I think what I choose to do is I basically give people the information, and unfortunately, Alice, there are a lot of people that just, they don't care until they have a reason to.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, it would be great to get some sort of solidarity in, you know, this area and get people doing things, but unfortunately, people aren't wired like that, and what you can do, though, is encourage people to be very aware of what they buy and be what they call conscious consumers, where when you buy a product, I really think that the manufacturers at this point, and a lot of manufacturers have really been stepping up to the plate to do this. What they do is they put it in their marketing collateral that this product is produced, it's non-GMO certified or whatever. I mean,
phthalate free.
Exactly. And I think that if more manufacturers do that, and it's basically what a new company has to do if they want to earn the trust of the conscious consumer, who will be willing to spend that money on a premium product, because I know I would. And
may I give a plug to my book?
Sure.
Because if you want to be a conscious consumer, which is absolutely necessary if you're a parent, you need to find out where the information resides in programs like yours. And in our book, in the back of the book, we have an appendix with some of the best databases where you can look up products that are made without, let's say, phthalates or cosmetic and personal care products that will not kill you or your kid.
And I just want to mention one great resource that the website is called personalcaretruth.com, and the two founders, they are very outspoken. They're big supporters for organic, but they basically have, it's all volunteers. They're not getting paid for any of this. And the what they do is they get the scientific research from independent scientists that are not employed by anybody, any of these chemical companies or thereof, and you know, that's what they do. They get the information from the people that are unbiased so that the information can be out there so that people can make their choices.
And another group that I'm sure you're aware of, June, is the Environmental Working Group, which has a database about the water supply from town to town, city to city. So there are information resources if you want to be a smart consumer and a smart parent. I just think it's a shame that the burden falls on us as individuals instead of on the industry. I think the industry should be making money and making safe parts of our, safe things that we can use in our lives. I don't know that it's fair to ask us to bear the entire burden.
I agree, but unfortunately at this particular point, at least we're smart enough to recognize that, okay, well, you know something, if this is the case, if you know, it's kind of like when you're a tourist and you're on vacation in a city where it's a big city, you don't know what may happen, you have to be smart. You can't exactly go around with your wallet hanging out of your pocket. You know, you have to do certain things, take certain precautions, and the same thing with just the exposure to these chemicals, the food, everything. At this point, you have to basically be very aware of the products that you're buying, what you're using, and what it all boils down to is knowledge. People need to get to know who they're buying products from, where the products are produced, so on and so forth. And honestly, Alice, if you think about it, back during the pioneer days, I mean, people knew you didn't have all these different resources for purchasing products. Basically, you had one store where you knew that the merchant was getting different types of fruits and vegetables from one particular farmer, whatever the case may be, or they would just go to the farm directly. I mean, depending upon what they were looking for, if they didn't grow it themselves. I mean, there were certain staples that they would go to town for, but you knew who you were getting it from. And people have basically had to go back to that mentality that in order to be more vigilant in, preventing the exposure from so many of these chemicals.
June, the thread that goes throughout all the things that I've done with my life is about getting information into people's hands and trying to help them help themselves. So I do agree with you to some degree. You know, this is our first line of defense, is ourselves. I just think that eventually, at some point, we ought to have enough pressure through our consumer buying and perhaps our voting to get better kinds of safeguards. I mean, in Europe, they have a program where any chemical is not allowed on the market until it is proved safe. I mean, that sounds so commonsensical. But in America, it's the opposite.
Well, it kind of goes along with our legal system, if you think about it.
Yeah.
The chemical is innocent until proven guilty, and that's ridiculous. Because you're talking about human life here.
Yes, indeed. And chemicals are man-made, and so you know that there's a room for error in there. I wanted also to bring up with you the issue about schools, because one of the presentations I made when the book first came out was to the PTA in Massachusetts, and man, did I get an earful from the teachers about the school conditions that they were working on. A lot of them, of course, still had asbestos, but most schools are getting rid of that.
Wow.
But then I found out that half of the schools in America have unhealthy indoor air. Isn't that amazing?
I am surprised that I survived it.
That's right. And that many of the schools are built on the cheapest possible land available, and
So are the parks, for that matter. Most parks, most public parks are basically built over landfills.
And they're all toxic landfills, exactly.
That scares me. That really does.
Well, it's sort of all part of the picture, isn't it? And the other thing that I wanted to...
Now you know why I don't go out much.
We go out where in the woods of Western Massachusetts. The other issue that I wanted to make your listeners aware of was synthetic turf, which a lot of schools are now installing synthetic turf instead of using grass for their playing fields. This is not a good idea. It is manufactured from recycled synthetic rubber, and it includes lead and chromium and zinc.
Wow.
And it's bad stuff. And
yeah, what a combination.
Yes, and so that's something I would like to arm your listeners with next time they go to a school meeting and they say, let's put in synthetic turf because it's so expensive to keep up the grass. Well, it's pretty expensive to have a sick kid.
Now, Alice, what if you want to find out if your school, I don't know, can you do anything if the school has already done it? Or, you know, when you finally catch wind that the school has plans for doing this, at what point should you start getting involved? And at what point is it even too late? Or, I mean,
good
is
question.
That, you know?
Usually it comes up on the school board meeting agenda. And almost all parents do get notes from school about these meetings. And that's the very latest point at which you can get active. I think if it's possible to send a message to your PTO, parent-teacher organization, let's not have synthetic turf now or in the future, you know, proactively, that would be a better idea. But, you know, once those wheels are in motion, most town planners will go for synthetic turf because they think it's cheaper. And in a way, it is cheaper, but not in terms of the health care costs to a parent and to the country.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, it's interesting when you look at certain parts of the country where they are being very aggressive, and I personally think that it's a very smart idea. They're using sheep and goats to basically maintain the lawns, and I know that I don't know if they're still doing it. I know that there was a park on Long Island that was doing that, and I thought it was
that's
smart.
Brilliant.
And there was actually a gal that I had interviewed last year, Kathleen Friend, who that's what she does. She's, I think she's a goat herder. And,
that is so brilliant.
Pretty sure she has goats. No, she has, sheep. And that's what she does. She takes them to the different pastures and they do their thing. And
there's a solution for everything.
Well, it's what we did before we became so industrialized and started using land for vanity purposes instead of production.
And it's because somebody can manufacture synthetic turf and make money on it.
People can manufacture anything, Alice, and make money on it. It's amazing how many of these stupid trends. Do you remember the fake grass that was very, very popular sometime in the 70s? That fake green carpeting?
Yes, but that's like the older brother of today's synthetic turf. Right. You don't want either of them, right?
I remember first seeing that, and I was little, and I didn't know what it was, and all I thought to myself was, this is weird. And
it looks weird, and it feels weird, and it is weird.
It was such a popular trend, and so many people started, they would put it on their steps. They would have it inside their homes. I mean, people today still have it. Some people, I don't know what they see in it, but they put it in their enclosed porches and stuff. And I don't know, I was house hunting and I saw that, and I thought to myself,
you're not going to buy that one.
Yeah, I mean, right. It goes along with the plastic on the furniture.
Yes, right.
Yeah, gotta love
and
that
then,
trend.
Of course, we know plastic is impregnated with polyvinyl chloride, which is another dangerous chemical. But I don't want to end, though, on a down note, June. I want to say that we know what's harming ourselves and our kids. And we can be active in protecting ourselves. It's when you're stupid and ignorant and lazy, or just ill-informed, that there's a danger. But as soon as, when we know what we should be looking for, then we are a force for good. You like that?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay.
I just really think that what it boils down to is getting the information out there. Because, I mean,
yes,
people can't understand what they need to do if the information isn't given to them. I mean, you've been dealing with this for quite a while, but there are a lot of people that, especially some of the new moms that are out there, even new dads, you know, new dads do make bottles. And
yes, they do. And new dads, contribute the seed for the new baby, and the new dads better take good care of themselves and eat good food before that baby is conceived. They really...
Oh, I completely agree.
Okay. But so that's why we need everybody to go out and read Poison for Profits, if I may say.
And Alice, let me ask you, are you going to be doing any book tours this summer?
No. However, I am working on a Facebook group for people who are interested in this topic so that they can discuss what they know and how to protect their kids and themselves. And when that's up and running, I hope I may send you an email and you can tell listeners about it.
That would be fantastic.
Okay.
And all, you are always welcome to talk about that. You know, the bottom line is that, folks, if you have, whether you have a newborn on the way, you have one with you now, or you just want to find out more about some of the problems in your own home environment, I mean, there are tremendous resources on in the back end of Poison for Profit. But Alice, where else can they find information? I mean, are there any public agencies or government agencies, rather, that do have the information, especially in the local community?
Yes, that's a good question, and I am looking at my appendix, because in the appendix of this book, it gives you places, all of the agencies that have wonderful databases, or, you know, for example, there's a database that's maintained by the Environmental Protection Agency where you can look up your neighborhood and find out what the pollutants are in your neighborhood. So there are amazing resources, but I just don't have them in my brain. I have them in my book.
Let me ask you one last question. If you are concerned about your water, what should you do? Should you contact your local municipality? Should you just take some water samples and send them out to test it yourself? What do you recommend?
Both. Your local water agency is supposed to send you yearly the results of tests in which they will list all the chemicals that they looked for, all the possible pollutants, and explain what might be in your water supply. But I think without even hesitating, the first thing you should do upon getting a new home, moving into an apartment, is to install a water filter. The more, you know, the better they are, the safer you and your kids will be.
Alice, thank you so much. And Alice, thank you once again for coming on the show today. It's been great having you and great talking to you. More people really need to educate themselves about how they can protect themselves as well as their kids.
Thank
folks,
you
too. You're very welcome. Folks, we are out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in. And please pick up a copy of Alice's book, Poison for Profit. It's a great book, especially for people that are looking to find out the information that they need so that, as I said, you can protect yourself and your family. Thank you for tuning in, folks. Have a great afternoon.